You're listening to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB, farming news and stories from across the UK.
We're going through a challenging period, that's for sure. The combination of post-Brexit new world, recent dry weather, the wider environmental challenges, political uncertainty, food security, the rising cost of living, we're all impacted one way or another. Add ELMs and reducing subsidies into the mix, and all that makes life just a little more complicated if you're a farmer. Your AHDB is not immune to pressures either, with the most recent Shape the Future vote prompting huge changes to ensure levy payers are closer and put at the heart of everything, as the organisation moves towards delivering the priorities set by the vote. One early shift is the creation of sector councils to replace the previous sector boards. The intention is for the sector councils to give a greater voice to levy payers and help guide and steer everything that AHDB does. I'm John Bates, and I'm joined by levy payer and dairy sector council member Mary Quick to tell us more about the Dairy Sector Council, her role in it, and with luck, share her views on AHDB and the benefit levy payers can get from the work paid for with levy money. Mary, thanks for sparing the time to come on the podcast. Perhaps just to get going, just tell us a little bit about yourself, if you would, and your dairy farm business in the wonderful Devon countryside.
Hi, John, and great to be here. Yeah, I'm a dairy farmer and cheesemaker from Devon. We've got just under 700 cows in a block carved autumn herd and a block carved spring herd running across two parlours, and we're really short of grass right now, just saying.
Oh my gosh, yes, and so is everybody saying that. So you said you're a cheesemaker. That sort of slightly undersells the idea that you're an award-winning cheesemaker, but what varieties do you make and where do you sell them?
Yeah, we make a traditional farmhouse cheddar, so circular cheese, bound with a cloth. The cow's milk cheese is just the milk from our own cows. And we sell that extensively into UK independents. Certainly before COVID and Brexit, we had a rather larger export business selling around the world, but particularly to the United States and Australia, as well as the Middle East and the Far East. And yeah, it's a really, really fun thing to do. And I think really kind of taps me into what customers are thinking about and maybe gives me some of that slight picture of what processors are after. Although, obviously, you know, we're a dairy farmer first and foremost.
OK, so let's talk about AHDB. You've been part of the transition, which I referred to, from sector boards to sector councils. How is that changing things for the better?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, we spent the boards when we were still a board working out what the differences would be. But I think what it is that we are tasked with really working out what it is that levy payers want, what will be most profitable for their businesses, and really challenging AHDB as to how they do that, holding them to account. I think that role is much strengthened. And, you know, I think the vote gave everybody a really shot across the bows, kick up the backside, to really focus on what was of most value to levy payers and what levy payers most valued.
OK, so you've been digesting the results of the Shape the Future vote. Perhaps it would be interesting to know sort of what you and other council members sort of thought and what the initial reaction was to what levy payers were saying.
Well, what was really, really interesting, we thought the results would be much, much, you know, that levy payers would express that some things they really, really didn't value. And actually, it was quite narrow, the difference between what people valued most, which was reputation and education. And interestingly enough, given the labour issues, people working in agriculture, that was valued least, with exports and dairy genetics, kind of exports being a little bit higher, dairy genetics being a little bit further down. And we spent quite a bit of time considering, well, are the things that people didn't appear to value as much to do with those areas where, I mean, for instance, like market intelligence, you know, we all feel, don't we, that we get all our information from, you know, our consultants or Potter or Farmers Weekly or Farmers Guardian. And actually an awful lot, really appreciating that an awful lot of that information is actually originally comes from work that AHDB have done. And nevertheless, it's really important to listen to the fact that reputation and education, you know, the reputation of dairy, particularly when we got Animal Rebellion potentially kicking up this September, the Ganuary going on, that what's really, really important is that we put reputation, that shouting about dairy, but also ensuring that we've got the solid grounds for that reputation in behind. So that while reputation and teaching school children about the value of dairy is clearly very important, but we also have to make sure that's based on solid ground. Got to be based on the science and evidence.
And it sounds like AHDB really needs to be much better at trying to broadcast and communicate the things that it does do. So I'm thinking, for example, like the genetics work, and I'm sure that most dairy farmers who are making breeding decisions and choosing bulls and that sort of thing will use PLI to help in those decisions. I wonder how many of those farmers actually know that it's AHDB that sits behind that work.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was really interesting, actually, as looking at the vote and looking how we were going to be presenting what AHDB do, looking at the New Zealand model, where they routinely ask their levy pairs, you know, in similar structure, routinely asking their levy pairs what they want. But one of the things that they do is to say, whatever work it is, this work would not be there available for farmers if we didn't have a levy body. Now, that's not to say all of us who join the sector board and now the sector council, all of us pretty much as farmers come onto the sector council really wanting to sharpen it up, get more value out of, you know, we put significant amounts of money into this levy. Most of us come on thinking we're very underwhelmed with what AHDB do and we want to sharpen it up and get more value for money. And one of the first thing that hits us is, if you like, all of the value of that underlying work, the genetics, the reputation work, you know, to make sure that animals are being looked after properly and give the underlying science and environment. So we've got some stuff, the ability to shout about what it is we're doing about environmental concerns, because all of those things are going to hit reputation and teachers' willingness and school children's willingness to sort of get their minds round dairy. It's also really, really important to make sure that the things that don't work so well about AHDB, I think it's been quite inward looking. I think the vote is forcing the AHDB to be much more outward looking. Really important to listen very closely to what levy payers want and let them know the value of the work that is already being done, and making sure that that's tuned more precisely to what levy payers want as well. I guess one of the things that's there for me is I think AHDB has been much more comfortable talking to its friends in the past rather than that massive, there's a whole group of levy payers who don't really engage with AHDB. And we've just got to make sure that those people are first of all well served, but also they know the value of the work that they're already getting. And also that their voice comes more acutely into what it is we do. So us as a sector council can make sure that AHDB is actually delivering on those things.
Now, one of the priorities that levy payers voted on and rated quite highly was the area of exports, saying that they very much value the work that AHDB does, promoting UK dairy products overseas. Tell us a little bit about your experience, because you talked about the fact that you're exporting to America and Australia and so on. So have AHDB sort of really been able to help you in your business?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that has been one of the really hidden things that I kind of probably knew that AHDB was behind some of the support we were getting. But I don't think I'd really got that that's where my levy money went. Just saying, I think as an exporter, how come we export? Is we want to get out of what can be the zero sum game of, if I sell something to one customer, it means another cheesemaker is bumped out. If I can take my product off the UK market, I can be a lot more robust in price conversations with my customers. And I think that plays over to an industry level. I think dairy farmers really understand that. The dairy export program is kind of relatively small and sits under the wing of beef and lamb. And I think it's really important that dairy continues that and we continue to do that more effectively. And I would also like maybe a strategic focus developing, and that is actually what we're discussing. It's trying to work out the best way of doing that. But the sort of things that we get is the fabulous Lucy Randolph goes to shows around the globe, and she's been doing this for years. She did it with Food from Britain back in the day. And she will set up stands that we can then join. And she gives us really, really, you know, the Horizon reports and so on, give us some really, really useful feedback on places that are going to be sensible for us to approach. And really all of the exporting companies, and obviously the much bigger exporting companies, they work really, really closely. And, you know, I wouldn't want us perhaps to go back to some of the, if you like, the money wasted that I think there was with Food from Britain, but I'd be really interested in us developing that work a bit more. And that is absolutely on, that's what we're seeking to do, but also all the time seeking to do this in the most cost-effective way possible. And, you know, the whole pot's a bit smaller because of the decision that HMRC made that we would have to pay VAT on the levy that we receive. Obviously, that cuts the pot by 20%. And so already we've got to make better use of it. And I don't want to go back to levy payers asking for more money, which probably the pot requires, but until we've got some real efficiencies in the system.
And it should be said that AHDB and DEFRA and others have been in very, very close conversation with the authorities about that decision with regards to VAT. And in the end, it was just presented really as a fait accompli. It's not negotiable. And as you say, the effect of that is that AHDB has got 20% less money, levy payers' money, to be able to invest in things.
Yeah, and at a point where, you know, as you said in your introduction, the challenges are only increasing, aren't they? Challenges from all sides. You know, the agricultural support is diminishing, and we've all got to get really seriously focused on having our businesses work. Absolutely, I think dairy is in a really good position, but we've all got to get smarter and apply ourselves better, solve this productivity gap that we've got with other countries, and we've got to be shouting about the value of dairy in the diet.
Now, you talked about the export work. You talked very favourably about that, but not everybody's an exporter, I suppose. And I'd be interested in your views of things a little bit closer to home. So AHDB gets involved with lots of activities farmers can attend and be part of. One of the initiatives is strategic farms, and there's the idea of behind that is the ability to be able to share knowledge and see in practice things going on different farms in different parts of the country. What sort of values attached to that work would you say?
The strategic farm network is really, really important because it allows dairy farmers to, or farmers of all kinds, but dairy farmers, to have a look at some best practice. What I found really quite disappointing is now we've gone back to meetings in person. Farmers say they want meetings in person, but actually we haven't had as many people as I would like. You know, you don't get, as you would say in New Zealand, 80% of the farmers in an area attending these meetings. And the information is absolutely fabulous. I mean, the research information that's been going around, you know, the transmission methods for yonis, you know, it's not just mother to calf, it's also dung in the general area, things that are really important that we all learn to get our minds around some of these things. We obviously want to do that, but it was so striking, wasn't it, in COVID, that we had, instead of audiences of 20, 30, 40 people at these events, which is typically what you might get at a strategic dairy farm walk, during COVID, that was, you know, 600, 700, 800 1,000 people. Now that's starting to reach out to a lot of people. And I know people don't want to report, they don't want to sit on the screen, but I think it's a really important way of reaching people who find it difficult to get off the farm. But in the evening, maybe when you've perhaps got a bit of time, you can sit down and watch a bit of AHDB telly and get some of those useful messages, get your whole team, get, you know, other members of the family, other members of the team, you know, Relief Milk who comes in, maybe can have some training that you'd never think of taking them to. We definitely need to get that down and not just go back to thinking that meetings in person are the only way. And of course, that's what farmers say they want, but, you know, we don't flipping turn up. We're busy.
Yeah, exactly. So, the hybrid working, the working smarter is something that I know AHDB is trying to address and get that balance right. Because I've certainly been to lots of meetings where you can see real value, where the farmers are just sort of exchanging, you know, the so-called peer-to-peer learning. But just that conversation between farmers about calf rearing or whatever it is, you see that going on, and that was able to happen because AHDB was running a meeting and had an expert on hand. So yeah, hybrid working for the future, I think that's probably a given. Marketing is one of those priorities as well. So there's all the market intelligence work and the export work, but general marketing is really something that AHDB levy payers right across the piece rate very highly. The current campaign is We Eat Balanced. How do you view that? Is that a useful campaign? Because, of course, that is straddling meat and dairy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is very much the area that levy payers say they want, is marketing and reputation scored highest. And Eat Balanced is all about what beef and lamb and dairy do for that balanced diet and bringing in all those micronutrients. One of the things that AHDB has been pretty powerful about, and we saw that very much with the Milk Your Moments campaign, is pulling together money from outside. AHDB and levy payers shouldn't be paying for all of this underlying work ourselves. And AHDB are the people who can actually pull that money in. Same thing with genetics and market intelligence, making sure that the other people, organisations in the industry who benefit from our work are also, you know, brought into paying for some of this. AHDB has seen itself a bit as an arm of government, supplying government with information. Well, maybe government should pay for a bit of that. If they're taking that 20% off us, maybe we can get some of that money back. And that's certainly the tenor of some of the conversations we have at the sector council.
So you've been around AHDB for a little while. The organisation is changing. Are there any sort of particular changes that you could highlight that you think listeners would be interested in?
I think what's interesting very much with this whole, you know, how high the desire for us to talk about reputation, what we're doing is really looking at how many of those things that AHDB do, whether we can sharpen up those particular things that serve that reputation piece. So obviously, levy payers have got to make money out of what they're doing, but also the things that we do and the things that AHDB fund should also serve the reputation bit, which is about where dairy farmers are, if you like, have that persuade society of our value. I think we need to continue persuading society of the value of dairy farming and also speaking out against some of the other voices. I mean, for instance, you know, the thing that the AHDB did, which was to win the case against the plant-based milks, referring to themselves as milks. You know, who else is going to do that if not us? And, you know, and that we've got to have that, you know, while being the honest broker and the science and evidence based, we've got to be the champion and we've got to be that public champion. And we've got to work with these other organisations to work together so that we're very much all on the same page. I think one of the things when I first came in, I think there was a bit of an anti against collaborating with other people. You know, how would levy payers know if we weren't doing this work by ourselves? Well, levy payers in general didn't tend to know what we were up to, but let's corral these other people and get them to pay for more of what levy payers are benefiting from. Let's get them at the flipping least to say on Farmers Weekly, information from AHDB, from Potter or from Dairy UK, information from AHDB. Nothing should go out without people realising the value of what we do. And, you know, and not to say that we also got to sharpen up what we do and make sure it's a real value and that we're doing things in the most cost-effective way.
So, Mary, you talk about the value of some of the things. You talk about the fact that perhaps AHDB is duly modest and isn't actually making it perfectly clear where a lot of this information originates from. And I suppose that could be true of perhaps things like the recommended list, that we know that farmers value the recommended list. How many of them actually recognise that that comes from AHDB?
Yeah, I mean, I just thought it's emerged from somewhere. But RB209, which a lot of us work from, and a very important underlying information that consultants will also use, grass and clover recommended lists, those arise from AHDB, just like the genetics PLIs. And obviously all this work on soils, we all got to get our minds around soils and how soils work and how we can monetize our soils and increase the organic matter and all the rest of it. That doesn't pay any suppliers' bills, but it certainly puts money on bottom line for farmers.
We've been talking about changes, talking about the sector councils setting out the what AHDB should be doing in the future. AHDB has the responsibility then to how to deliver it, how to make that happen for levy payers. So there's some priorities that have been agreed, many of those you've actually talked about in this podcast. But what happens next? So there's an agreement that needs to be set in stone in terms of what the priorities are for the sectors. And then there's going to be an open meeting for levy payers later in the year. Is that right?
Yes. So at the moment, what we're doing is working through on the basis of the vote, all of the areas, trying to work out what is the really essential stuff, what's the really valuable stuff. Is there some work that needs to be done to make all of that happen? So we're in the process of coming towards that conclusion, firming that up so we can go to the AHDB board, the AHDB organisation to say, OK, how are you going to do that? So we can really come up with the plan. But that plan will go out to levy payers in this open meeting. And it's really, really important, just like it was in the vote that people express their views. It will be really important, that open meeting, because that is where we will present what it is we think. You know, we're a council, we're whatever we are, 10 levy payers sit on that council. We hope that we're reasonably representative of large and small, the different systems in dairy, but we have to hear back from the industry, from levy payers, whether we have interpreted correctly. And it's really important that isn't just the noisy ones. It's really important that that is everybody, that we can really get that view of whether we are serving our industry. Because actually, that is the core thing that is driving sector council members. We are really, all of us, passionate about serving our industry, having our industry not only survive, but thrive and be profitable into the future. That is the core of what we're about as sector councils.
Yeah, and AHDB, you know, is certainly, passionate about being relevant to all levy payers. So I think we've probably got a common goal there. So that's good news. So challenges. At the beginning of the podcast, I talked about, obviously, you know, ELMS and reducing subsidies and all of the other things that are, you know, going on, climate change and what have you. What do you see as the biggest challenges for the dairy industry and, you know, the coming sort of years that we've got to address?
I think this reputation piece is really, really important. You know, there are a lot of pretty well-funded people saying some negative stuff about dairy, the value of dairy, the value of animal products, the whole methane thing. We've got to be in a position to give the industry the means to counter those arguments. Either we counter them ourselves, but tele-advertising, flipping expensive. It's not necessarily the best use of levy payers' money, but we need to ginger up the whole industry to have us all singing off the same hymn sheet. And also make sure that we probably can't do the work ourselves. We don't have the funds, but we need to signpost the best work that's out there, you know, make better use of the work that is out there. underneath the whole of it is ensuring that we are able to run our farms in the most profitable way possible. And that will require, you know, we want to be doing action on the marketing to make sure that the price that we get paid is good. We've got to export to make sure that we carry on keeping the market. At the moment, the milk price is where it is because markets are tight and processors want us to keep producing milk. Well, we've got to make sure that that's still there. We want to be producing the milk, but we also want to make sure that processors and supermarkets are continuing to encourage us to do that. And a very good way of doing that is taking some product off the market and exporting well. The dairy genetics is really important because that's all about the productivity, but also about reducing our environmental impact. You know, we've got to make sure as well that we carry on doing the welfare things so that we are doing all the right things on the farm, carrying on those things, especially those things that impact reputation. And on the environment and sustainability, we've got to keep people the tools so that we can answer these naysayers and that we can run our farms as efficiently as possible. And that we know that we're not deceived by processors, that we know enough about that market and where the market is going and what prices are so that we can operate sensibly on farm.
Mary, finally, there are very clearly lots of things that need to be done, and you and your sort of sector council colleagues are working hard in order to set out what it is that AHDB will be doing over the next 5 years, because of course levy payers will have the opportunity to vote again in 5 years' time. That's one of the other changes that's been introduced. But so those are kind of working out our priorities over the next 5 years. Let's come back to you know, your farm at home, and let's just talk about your priorities and on the next few weeks. What's going to be happening on the home farm?
Well, I'm wearing out my rain dancing shoes. we're currently on winter feed, replacing that winter feed. Perhaps we should have cut a bit more grain for whole crop silage. But conversely, the maize is growing pretty well. So it's getting that harvest in and then kind of planning the cropping. I think we will be growing some more where we can. We'll be getting some forage crops in over the winter so that we, you know, so getting some fast growing grass is growing so that we don't have that gap in late winter, early spring. So we've got some grub for the cows to eat. I mean, as a block carver, over the next few weeks, we'll be starting to think about, because we'll start carving on about 14th of August. We'll have our heads down carving and getting those animals milking for the, you know, hopefully giving us decent milk into the sensible prices that we think we're going to be getting through the autumn and the winter.
Well, Mary, we wish you well. So thank you very much for spending the time to speak to me. We look forward to hearing more on the podcast about the Sector Council's decisions, which come off the back of the Shape the Future vote, and all the other changes which may result at AHDB. If you've got any comments about this podcast or would like to be a guest because you've got something of interest to say to levy payers, or you just want to suggest a topic for a future episode, please get in touch. You can email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk. This podcast was produced by Kate Herrick. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.
If you have any comments about this podcast or have any ideas for future episodes, please email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk. We want to hear from you.